Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are so happy to be here on this glorious day in the world to bring you Mediocrity Podcast. It is so lovely here in Dallas, Texas, but I want to know what it's like all the way on the other side of the United States in the Los Angeles West Coast area. Just on the West Coast, really. Somewhere. Maybe he's in California. Maybe he's on the East Coast. I don't really know. But Jonathan Atterbury is here today for Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. He has a good beard and a mustache and some hairy chest popping out of a rainbow bright jersey. I don't know what's happening, but maybe he could explain it. Jonathan Atterbury, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What a great intro. And unfortunately, I'm not wearing a rainbow bright jersey. I'm wearing an Arnold Schwarzenegger tank top.
He says this as he's picking the chest hair out of his mouth from his own chest hair.
I realize there's something. I don't think it was my own chest hair. But I'm good. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Is it a glorious day on the West Coast?
It is a glorious day in sunny California.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm happy about that because it's a glorious day here, too, in the south of North Texas.
The south of North Texas.
And we usually have an older gentleman with us, usually. His name is Jeremy Maggart.
The resident senior citizen, as it were.
Yes, but he is not with us today. He is busy at the long line checking his AARP card to see if it still works. But we wish him
I heard that he heard there was a discount over at Golden Corral. So he was hitting that early bird special.
Oh, and he had to make sure that the AARP card was working. But we wish him we miss him and he'll be with us next week. But we get to talk about him now. You know, that's the deal.
That is the deal. If you're not here, we get made fun of the whole time.
The whole time. So basically, we're just going to talk about everything Jeremy loves without him right now.
Yes, this is the make fun of Jeremy episode.
So, to do this, if Jeremy was one of the Avengers, which Avenger would he be?
That's hard to think about. Would he be right off the top of my head?
Would he be like Hawkeye, or would he be like Rocket the Raccoon?
Which Avenger is the oldest? Like, is there like, a really old
Rogers,
Avenger?
Technically, because he's
there. You go.
Not a couple.
Like Steve Rogers without super strength.
Strictly because he's that, the oldest,
and that does age.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's good. So, yes, Jeremy, you are the Steve Rogers in age of the Avengers. That's perfect. That's perfect. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about lots of cool things. We have a couple really fun segments coming up towards the end of the show that we always do. But first off, let's get to some news. I've got to ask this question because he's been popping up recently. Mike Myers has been popping up as Dr. Evil, the character from Austin Powers, in TV recently. Like, he was on the Jimmy Fallon show. He was on a few other shows as the character Dr. Evil. does this mean we're finally going to get an Austin Powers 4? Like, this makes sense.
I sure hope so. It's really what the world needs at this moment in time.
When did Austin Powers come out? I got to look this up. Because, it was in the 90s for sure.
Yeah, I want to say it was like 97-ish.
I think you're right. I think, yes. 1997 was The International Man of Mystery. Part 2 of The Spy Who Shagged Me was 1999. And Goldmember was 2002. So it has been 16 years since we've last seen Austin Powers.
That's a long time. That is too long.
We have aged since then.
Yes.
So interestingly enough, like, these movies have made a ton of money. Like, the budget for all three movies was $112 million, and they definitely grossed almost $700 million. But I don't know. I don't know why they just kind of stopped making it, I guess, because, I mean, you need Mike Myers, and I guess he's just not doing it right now.
Well, I think after Goldmember, he did Love Guru, and everyone pooped on that so hard. It seems that after Love Guru, he kind of stopped doing his thing for a long while.
True, true. I mean, which is sad, because with somebody as talented as Mike Myers is, with all the characters and acting and stuff, who gives a shit what people say? Like, yes, everybody, most everybody makes a terrible movie, but they move on. Why? I mean, he just has so much to go from. Maybe he didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he had other things he wanted to pursue. I know, as we know, he did a few bit parts and more serious things like Inglourious Basterds and all that kind of stuff. But I really think that now, this moment in time, would be a fantastic return for Austin Powers.
I agree, because, back in 2005, a fourth film was talked about and supposedly went into development, but it has yet to leave the shelf and get into production or anything as of we're talking right now. So, yes, there probably is a fourth film written somewhere, like not even a full script, but probably like a story idea, but nothing's been done about it. But as John says, we probably need one. I agree, because it's just funny, silly humor. We haven't gotten that for so long. We've been inundated with so much stuff from like Seth Rogen, where it's like gross out humor, and it's funny, but we don't have like this silly humor that Austin Powers gave us, along with all the really
right.
cool music. In light of the few recent James Bond films, we need an Austin Powers to go along with this. Maybe Austin Powers is a little older, like Daniel Craig was, and
there's so much that he could do with it. There's just so much. And I think with the political climate that's happening nowadays, it's just ripe for the picking. We need Mike Myers to do this.
I agree. And like, people are still alive. You still have Mike Myers. You still have Vern Troyer. You still have Seth Green.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. And then, the guy who directed all of them, Jay Roach, who's done all of them and who recently did the movie Sisters and Trumbo, The Campaign. We want more of this. And interestingly enough, just like within the past couple months, we've seen Dr. Evil, Mike Myers as Dr. Evil on TV. So is he trying to tell us something? Is he gauging reactions like, yes, we want this again?
Yeah, I'm hoping that what it is, it's putting his foot in the water, just dipping it in, just to see how people react, see how many hits the YouTube videos gets and all that kind of thing. So I'm really hoping that before long, we're going to get the announcement for, yes, we're getting Austin Powers 4.
Yes. And so with that, I think possibly for a future show, we need to come up with storylines and casting for fourth Austin Powers movie and a title.
That sounds excellent. I would love to do that.
Yes, we need to do that. If you haven't, just check YouTube or whatever on the internet, and you will see this Dr. Evil character pop up. Moving on to some comic book news. Jonathan, you're a fan of Terminator, right?
I am a fan of Terminator 2.
but not part one?
Though, no, I don't like part one.
Interesting.
Part one doesn't do it for me.
That's so weird because part one is so good.
Yeah, it just doesn't click for me.
Okay, so you like Terminator 2, but you don't like 3, 4, 5, or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like anything else.
There it is. John hates everything show minus T2 and The Rock. All right. So, speaking of Terminator, there is going to be a new 4-issue comic book miniseries of The Terminator, which takes us back to 1984 yet again. And this time, the T-800, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger, is being sent back to 1984. And he is supposed to take out an NYPD officer named Lucy Castro. Writer Brian Wood and artist Jeff Stokely have been commissioned to do the limited series. I'm going to read you the synopsis here real quick. This has the Terminator, of course, was supposed to kill Sarah Connor in Los Angeles. But adding to a new timeline, Terminator Sector Wars, which is his new comic, follows a second Terminator sent to 1984 New York City to take out this officer, Lucy Castro, who's a rookie cop. So, I don't know. What do you think about this?
It sounds I'm not a comic book man myself. But it sounds like it could be a good comic book.
But a lot of comics turn into movies and TV shows this day. I wonder if they're going to keep doing Terminator movies. It kind of seems like a kind of cool deal because of
the whole... I think the franchise is too valuable to be just left alone at this point. They're always doing something with it.
Exactly. And I think this story is kind of cool because with the Terminator universe, there's so much time travel involved. While Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator is going to kill off Sarah Connor, maybe another person was going to sent to New York or whatever, wherever, to kill off somebody else who was going to be a big leader of the resistance. And
right.
It would be cool to see kind of like that story unfold too. I don't know. I don't know. I'm excited for it. The Terminator Sector War number one goes on sale in August of this year. I don't know. I like Terminator 1 and 2 a lot. Part 3 had its moments, but it's not great. And then it just got terrible from there. I think we really need like a really classic reboot to the story of Terminator because it's such a cool story and a scary story at that, too. I just don't know if they've really done it justice.
They haven't. I think the last good Terminator movie was Terminator 2. And that was great, but everything since then really hasn't found its mark.
Nothing has found its mark, sir. Well, I hope for the best for it, but I'm curious about this little miniseries because it could definitely be used for a future film because there's definitely going to be more. I don't know how long Arnold Schwarzenegger will still be here playing the Terminator in CGI motion capture to make him young again.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's hard to have a senior citizen portraying a machine that never ages.
It's weird. It's very weird. I don't get it. But oh well, there's some news for you right there. Also, out of the TV department, a little bit of news that it's really cool. We all know that Game of Thrones is coming back for its last season, its last final few episodes. They announced, I think just yesterday... that they just wrapped, not complete filming, but filming a straight 55-night shoot for an epic battle that will take place during the 8th and final season.
Interesting.
55 nights. That's almost 2 months of straight shooting just for one battle scene.
Wow. That's crazy. I can't even imagine what that's going to end up looking like. How long was the Battle of the Bastards? Do you know how long that took them?
I'm going to have to look, but it wasn't 55 nights, though. It's crazy. So producers from the HBO series said that, yes, it was a 50-night, 3-location shoot. And I guess... It was all 55 consecutive nights, 11 weeks, 3 locations. You'll never see anything like it. And this is for the Night Dragons, I guess. I don't know what that means, but this is just crazy. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been anything like this for television, like shooting that much for one particular epic scene. I
can't imagine. That's so intense. That's like some movies are filmed in 2 months, you know, some entire films.
So with three locations and all, you know, you just got to think like, holy shit, this is going to be like nothing we've ever seen before on TV. I have no idea where it could go from here. This is insane to me.
No, that's crazy. I can't wait. When does that get released again? I can never remember.
It doesn't have a release date, but it debuts in 2019. I don't think they have a particular actual date, but it's sometime next year.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
You've got a while. but I mean, it's going to be bloody as hell. We're going to see people die. It's like everything from the past seasons culminating into this huge battle. And you got to think like it's going to be emotional. It's going to be super graphic. And just, I think there's going to be like so many, holy shit, did you see that type moments.
Probably. It's probably going to be like everyone is just going to get wiped out, except for like maybe three characters or something at the end.
I'm in awe of this because I'm just, I don't know what to think of it, but I'm all in, and I really want to see how much it cost them to do this. But yes, there you go. Game of Thrones. There's going to be an epic battle in this last season, and it took 55 straight nights to shoot it. And you just think about that, and like, can you think of going to work for 55 days straight shooting the same scene? It's like a Kubrick movie. It's crazy, but I'm excited. I'm excited. Jonathan, would you like to hear some really cool news about Lord of the Rings?
Why, yes, Brian. I would love to.
We're moving on from Game of Thrones to Lord of the Rings. It's practically the same universe, I think. You know, you've got dragons and wizards and monsters.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Okay, so J.R.R. Tolkien has been dead for almost 5 decades now. Wouldn't you agree?
I would hope so. Otherwise, someone got something very wrong. There's been a tremendous mistake made.
There you go. Well, a new book by him is coming out, going to be released very soon.
The Fall of Gondolin, right?
Yes, The Fall of Gondolin, which was edited by his son, Christopher Tolkien. And it will debut everywhere this summer. So this summer, if you want to read into the, you know, an actual new Lord of the Ring-ish type of story from J.R.R. Tolkien, you'll be able to, which is really cool. And they have like a synopsis and everything. So I wonder, since now it seems like Amazon, who got the rights to that new Lord of the Rings TV show, they're giving them like, I think it's like $1 billion to film the series, which is like unheard of. That's not hyperbole. I think it's $1 billion that made news.
Wow.
So I wonder if it will be like part of this Fall of Gondolin thing.
Well, I don't know. I got the impression that it was more of the, like, Lord of the Rings. Didn't you get the impression that it was more of the actual, like, story of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all of that?
Well, I don't know. I think they're going to use characters, but I think it's going to be new type stuff. I don't think they're going to go in. I mean, it might be kind of this, because this says, this Fall of Gondolin, during the years that the Dark Lord Morgoth, Sauron's predecessor and mentor, reigned supreme in Middle-earth, his fellow godlike Valor refused to intervene against him on behalf of the peoples of Middle-earth. So it looks
right.
Like,
so this is like thousands of years before The Hobbit.
Right. And I think this could technically be at least one season or half a season, and then leading up to Lord of the Rings type stuff.
Perhaps.
But I'm just like excited to actually get like a story by Tolkien in Middle-earth again.
Have you read any of the other books that Christopher Tolkien has put out, like the Children of Húrin or Beren and Lúthien? I think those are the two that he's put out that were based on snippets of his father's or grandfather's work.
I have not. Is it any good?
Yeah, dude, the Children of Húrin is really good, actually. I haven't read Beren and Lúthien, but the Children of Húrin is excellent.
All right. I want to see it. I want to read that now. I've only read the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit stuff. So, oh, and the Silmarillion. So I haven't read anything else. So.
Yeah, I want to say the Children of Húrin came out like 10 years ago or something like that, but it's definitely worth reading.
Yeah, it is interesting. And so with this news, it's really weird because Christopher Tolkien, the son of J.R.R. Tolkien, Christopher is no spring chicken. He's 93 years old. He's basically like Stan Lee's age. If you remember when the Lord of the Rings stuff came out, if you read interviews with Christopher, he vehemently hated Peter Jackson's movies of his dad's works, all of them. So I don't know if Christopher is going to allow. I have no idea what his deal is. I have no idea. But I mean, this
yeah, who knows?
Cranky old man, because I mean, he was in his 70s when those movies came out, basically. So I don't know. I'm excited. I want to see this. I want this to happen.
More Tolkien is always good.
More Tolkien is always good. And you know who else likes Tolkien?
Who?
Josie.
No.
No.
She says she does, right. but I don't think she does.
No, I got that mixed up. She hates Lord of the Rings. I think she saw one of them and then just never wanted to do anything with them again, right?
Pretty well. She says she likes it, but when it comes down to it, she has no idea what they're all about.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true, sir. You speak the truth.
I think I heard her have an embolism blow just now.
Telepathically, we just saw the fire in those eyes. And yeah, she's angry now. All right. Tolkien stuff, yada, yada, yada. Let's talk about a trailer you and I both watched within the last 24 hours, which just surprises me and just is insane to talk about. There is a movie coming out. A movie coming out in August of this year. And the movie is called The Meg. The M-E-G. No, it does not star Meg Ryan, unfortunately. Instead, The Meg stands for The Megalodon, I guess. A giant, giant shark. This movie is directed by John Turteltaub, which should probably excite Atterbury. To give you a list of John Turteltaub's movies he's directed. If you remember the early 90s movie Three Ninjas, Cool Runnings. And then he went on to direct, which I think is a very overrated movie, National Treasure and National Treasure 2.
Sign me up. You just listed five movies that I love.
So the director of this, yes, is The Meg. And it stars Jason Statham and Rainn Wilson. So basically Dwight from The Office and the big action hero.
And The Transporter.
From The Transporter, yes. And I guess with the trailer, we watched the trailer and it's like this underwater lab. And they're like searching for like new fish and aquatic life. And then all of a sudden, like this giant 2 football fields long shark comes and attacks people. And then they show like, you know, lovely families sitting in the ocean and having fun. And the shark comes. I don't know. This has B-movie written all over it.
It does, but at the same time, it looks really good.
Okay.
I was amazed. I watched this trailer expecting it to be Sharknado, and in watching it, I was amazed by how much I actually think that movie is going to be fun.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, Jonathan, and I want you to answer as serious as you can.
Okay.
What do you think the budget is on The Meg?
$200 million.
Is like seriously?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
No, well, is that your real guess?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, you're wrong. But he's close.
How much do they spend on movies normally?
No, not definitely not. Okay, like $200 million for a movie is like the highest end, like Transformers, Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Okay, see, I don't know. I don't know these things. I'm just guessing. I'm just set a number. I don't know.
Folks, most movies of this caliber would probably get between $17 and $30 million. The Meg has a budget of $150 million.
See, I wasn't that – you make me feel like I'm stupid and I was only off by that much. Give me a break.
You think every movie's made $200? No.
I didn't say that. I just – that was my guess for this movie.
So you see the trailer and, yeah, it looks good, but you're just like, they spent $150 million on this movie?
Like, well, and probably $125 million of that was spent on special effects.
Well, yeah, because I doubt Jason Statham, although he's awesome, is not making $20 million a picture. Neither is Rainn Wilson. It is insane to me that this movie's has cost $150 million, and that's just the budget. That's not accounting for marketing. So this movie's going to have to make over $300 million, and I guess this is going to be released in all overseas where it might be crazy. Yes, it is. So I'm just excited for this movie because it seems like it's legitimately going to be fun, possibly scary, and hilarious all at the same time.
I agree. It looks like it might be a absolute winner.
Oh, and so this movie, I have to immediately go to the bookstore. This movie is based on a 1997 science fiction book called Meg, A Novel of Deep Terror by Steve Alton. So I have to read this. I want to read this. It looks crazy. And supposedly there's tons of sequels to this book too. So I'm just in. There's actually 6 sequels to this book.
So there are 7 books based on this Meg series?
Yeah, the first book is called Meg, A Novel of Deep Terror. And then the sequels are called The Trench, Meg, Primal Waters, Meg, Hell's Aquarium, Meg Origins, Meg Night Stalkers, and Meg Generations. I mean,
man,
really? And supposedly this movie has been in development since 1997, so basically over 20 years. At one point, Guillermo del Toro was attached to it.
Wow.
But this is hilarious. Like, I'm very excited. Like, this could be the next Transformers film franchise, but shark.
It could be the next Jaws. That's really what I thought as I watched it. I was like, this could be the new Big Shark series.
I'm very curious about this Hell's Aquarium. I just like the names are hilarious. This sounds like fun. And this guy, Steve Alton, has made a career of writing about a giant shark killing things.
Good for him.
Do you want to read these? I mean, I do.
No.
No? Why
not really.
Not?
I don't know. It just is – I don't know. It doesn't sound like my style of book.
So in the vein of National Treasure, I mean, don't – and then in the shark movie, I think – yes, it has the possibility to be super fun. It's unfortunate that Nick Cage is not in it. And it's unfortunate that it
I think it's probably fortunate that Nick Cage is not in it. That means it's probably going to be a better film. That Nick Cage is not good, but he usually, as of the last 15 years, he's attached himself to some highly questionable projects.
You don't know this. You don't know this.
You don't know Nick Cage.
You don't know Nick Cage. He's amazing.
I agree, but let's be real. Ever since Ghost Rider, it's been bad.
Oh, no. There's been a couple movies out of his string of, you know, thousands of movies for the last few years have been good. But this is interesting. So you're excited. You like everything about this.
Oh, yeah, count me in, man. I'm ready for the movie.
It's crazy to me that, like, you know, you think about this and you're like, okay, a movie like Get Out. And then a movie like Meg. It's like, wow, the money goes in different places. It's just so weird to me. $150 million to this shark movie. I hope it wins an Oscar. Seriously, the Meg. And like Meg Ryan presents the award. I don't know. Just something.
I love it. That sounds fantastic.
Yes, it does. I'm excited. A little bit of Blu-ray 4K stuff coming at you. Criterions for this month that I've reviewed. There's a movie called Dead Man and a movie called The Virgin Suicides. Have you seen any of those, Atterbury?
I have not.
Okay. So Dead Man is a really cool movie. Came out in the early 90s. Shot all in black and white. And it is a movie with Johnny Depp. And it's kind of like a really weird Western movie, like an experimental Western. It's like the late 1800s. He's traveling from his hometown to go to a job as an accountant, where he is forced at gunpoint to leave the town immediately. And then he shoots the head of the town's basically son, and they send killers after him. It's really cool. It's really darkly funny. Iggy Pop's in it. Neil Young did all the music for it. Really cool movie. And it's directed by Jim Jarmusch, who did like Coffee and Cigarettes and Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai. Very cool movie. It's on Criterion. It's amazing.
Hey, side note. Have you watched that Neil Young, Daryl Hannah movie yet on Netflix?
No, it's not out yet, is it?
I thought it was out already.
Oh.
Maybe I feel like I saw it come out, but I'm probably wrong.
I know we talked about it, but I don't know if it's out yet. But I'd totally be into it because I know you definitely aren't.
Oh, man. I watched a trailer for it, and all of my fears were confirmed.
Oh, you're crazy. Crazy. But yes, Dead Man's on Criterion. I highly, highly recommend that because lots of really cool extras, which I hope the Criterion starts doing, because what they did, one of the extras here is that the director and Criterion asked fans to send in their questions, and for like an hour or more, Jim Jarmusch reads the questions from people answers everything. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So like people just like ask him random questions and he reads it. So I thought that was super cool. So I'd like to see that for like many other films that happen. And then The Virgin Suicides is also a 90s movie from director Sofia Coppola. Yes, daughter of Francis Ford Coppola. And this is a really cool movie and really – if you haven't seen this, Jonathan, you need to see this. You know, it's about five young siblings in high school who all kind of like commit suicide in high school. Very cool movie. Tons of new extras with new interviews with all the actors, such as Josh Hartnett and Kirsten Dunst. Very, very cool movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Those are the movies that you definitely want to get this month, at least for now. But those are Blu-rays and 4Ks. Let's move on to video games. There is a big update for a lot of video games recently, mostly being Overwatch and Call of Duty World War II. Call of Duty World War II. Jonathan, have you played any with the new update?
I have not. The first I heard of it was this morning when I sent you that link to the video, and I was very surprised to hear that. But I'm glad. It sounds like all good changes.
Yeah, so I was uploading new updates last night on Xbox, and there was like a big 6-gig update for Call of Duty. There was like a 19-gig update for Overwatch, just tons of stuff. So Call of Duty World War II, interestingly enough, I want to know what you think about this. Like, so I do the Expeditionary class, which is the shotgun. How do you feel about me, if I wasn't on your team, having 4 grenades now?
I don't know if it's actually – is it actually going to give you 4 grenades?
No. Okay, so yes. In my Expeditionary class, I have 4 grenades. I have 2 mines and 2 smoke grenades. I can choose – I can go back and
forth. Right, but that's because one of your perks, and anyone will be able to have that perk. But I think with the Expeditionary, it doesn't even matter because you have unlimited. All you have to do is run over a body and you get all your stuff refilled.
True. That is very true.
So it doesn't even matter if you have 4. You're going to just have an infinite supply.
That's true. But I guess you start out with 4 to begin with.
Right. But I think, because you have the ability to just get them nonstop, it almost doesn't even matter.
Okay. So what do you think about the unlimited sprint?
I think that's fine. I'm not, I don't have a problem with that. I didn't have a problem with the short sprint, but I also am fine with them taking that away too.
Okay. So is there anything that you read about into the patch that you don't like or do like?
No, I think everything that I read about sounds like smart changes that will hopefully just make it more fun.
Okay. No, I played a few games last night, and it was super fun. Had a good time doing that. And, yeah, they took away my incendiary shells, which are shotgun shells that catch fire on people.
And so they removed those from the whole entire game?
The entire game. However, in order to get them, you have to level up your shotgun to level 8, which I guess is the top right now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'm at level 7 because I've maxed it out. But so I have to go to level 8. So somebody who's starting that class over, we're going to have to level up their weapon quite a bit in order to get the incendiary. Because beforehand, you would immediately get those right away.
Well, that's interesting. I'm okay with that.
But then everybody got an extra add-on to their guns.
Right.
So, which is kind of cool. So the shotgun instead of two, has 3 now. And the rifle has 4 add-ons that you can add simultaneously on. So I guess they've listened to the fans. They've done their research, and so far, so good.
Yeah, I've been super happy with that game. But I have to say, I have one thing I need to complain about.
Okay.
It's not about Call of Duty World War II. It's about the fact that you're no longer playing Sea of Thieves, and it makes me really sad.
Ah, Sea of Thieves. So, yes, folks, I did play Sea of Thieves for 2 weeks, and I had a good, fun time doing it. And I have not... It was part of my free 2-week trial of the Xbox Game Pass, and once that was up, I got rid of it, and I haven't looked back. Yes, do I think about it sometimes, like, oh, that'd be kind of fun to play right now, but, you know, for a $60 game, and I'm just, I don't know, I haven't gone back to it. I do miss playing with you guys, but it is fun doing all the communication stuff, but I guess I'll wait till a big patch comes up to see if I really want it.
They're about to release a new big patch, but I also want to remind you that the game has only been out for about a month now. I don't know how much DLC you're expecting in the first month, but they generally don't release that much in the first month or two even, usually.
No, I know. So I'm waiting.
I think it's got the amount of time that we've already put into it is enough to warrant a $60 game. If you look at a game like Uncharted or Devil May Cry or any of those type of games where it's a single player experience, you know, if you get 20 hours of playtime out of it, you're like, okay, not humongous, but it's kind of worth it, I suppose. And this, you know, I've probably sunk 60 plus hours into this game already. And so it's easily worth it. I look at the value of a video game to me is not necessarily what's going on in the game, but how much time I'm going to get out of it.
Okay. No, I get that aspect. I like all of that. I like having fun with it. I just haven't gone out and purchased it yet for $60 yet, which is not
a big deal. But that's what I'm upset about. You need to do that.
Yeah, but I'm playing Overwatch with Call of Duty right now, and I just – I don't know.
The developers actually just recently put out a bit of interesting news saying what they're going to be doing is – releasing, they're splitting up their development teams now into multiple branches, so they're going to be releasing new content weekly.
So new
and like
content.
When I say new content, I don't mean like patch updates and behind the scenes kind of stuff. I mean like new things in the game. Like they're going to be working on new cosmetic stuff, like just things that are happening in the world. They're really now going to be focusing on like fleshing out everything that they've got, or fleshing it all. I mean
I'm in for this.
It sounds really cool. It sounds like they've got a good plan to have a steady, because what they really have said that their goal is to have a steady stream. They're not going to do like humongous patches or humongous DLC releases necessarily, but rather just have a steady flow of new content.
I hope they keep their word. I know Friday the 13th promised that too, and
yeah,
definitely didn't deliver.
Rare is, you know, they're reputable. They've got a their thing going on, and I think with how tied in with Xbox they are, I don't think Xbox is going to let them mess this up too much. They would, but I have a feeling that it's such a high profile thing that they're going to do it right. And it seems like everything they've done right so far, they've nailed it.
No, yeah, it's super fun. I had a good time playing with it. And I look forward to getting it at some point. I just don't think it's going to be very soon. Who knows? I miss it. I like Call of Duty and I like Overwatch. I've been playing those games now. And I want to get it. I just, who knows?
I don't know.
What other video games have you been playing?
That's pretty much it, man. I downloaded a few other games with the Xbox Game Pass, which I actually like. I think the Xbox Game Pass has been pretty cool. I think it's a good deal, and there's a lot of stuff on there for pretty much any mood, and I like it. I hope they eventually get more exclusives on there, and I hope they eventually get more current gen games, so it's less stuff from original Xbox 360 or Sega Genesis games and things like that. But I've been enjoying it. I got Golden Axe, I got Sonic, I got a game called Skyforce Anniversary, I got one of the new Xbox exclusives called Super Lucky's Tale, which is basically like Spyro the Dragon or Banjo-Kazooie, something like that. It's really fun, so I've been enjoying it.
Well, good. Good, good, good. I'm happy that you're playing these games and get to tell me all about it, because the only two games I'm playing are the other two games. I don't know. Help me help you, John. Help me help you to get these games.
I'm trying to help you by telling you that to get Sea of Thieves.
Oh, that's so funny. So good. Yes. Would you like to know, John, that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has announced a sequel to Jumanji?
I would love to know that. I watched that movie for the first time last weekend.
Like the original or the new one with The Rock?
The new one with The Rock.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I thought it was great. It wasn't, you know, it's not going to win any awards, but man, it was just super fun. I had a great time watching it. I laughed. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Okay, good. So you're being luck. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has officially announced a Jumanji sequel. Everybody's coming
awesome.
Back. So he's about to work on it, you know, within this year. So we'll see how that works out. Also, one of my writers, Dan Moran, saw The Rock's new movie, Rampage. He loved it. He said it's just glorious, action-y fun that knows its place in cinema, has fun with it, and The Rock is hilarious and crazy as ever.
I'm super excited to watch that movie. I still need to see Ready Player One. That's number one on my list at the moment of movies to watch. But Rampage is probably going to be very high up on that list.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still dying to see A Quiet Place.
Okay, so everybody's liking A Quiet Place. It is.
That's getting great reviews.
Yes, it is directed by John Krasinski, who stars in the film. You know him as Jim from The Office. And they say that one of my writer, Dan Moran, had a great nitpick about it. He loved the film. You know, it's a horror film about this family. It's set in the future where this alien race has come and they are attracted to sound. And if they hear a noise, they come and eat you and attack you. So with this movie, most of the film is with this family that's mostly silent. You have to say silent. So in the movie, Emily Blunt's character is pregnant, 9 months pregnant. And, she's going to have a baby in the movie. So my writer's gripe was like, if you know you're not supposed to make any noise, why would you be having sex? And you know babies are loud as hell. Why have one?
I mean, it's one thing to be quiet yourself during childbirth, but the moment the child's going to be born, it's going to be making noise, hopefully. Yeah.
So I thought it was a great aspect that my writer brought up. I was like, yeah, I mean, yes, Emily Blunt is really hot. Who wouldn't, you know, say no or yes, you know, whatever. You want to. But at the same time, if you make any noise, you're going to die by an alien. Is it worth it?
Well, I think it's been proven throughout human history that vagina that seems to be the one thing that overrides all logic.
I guess so. But everybody's loving the movie. They say it's super scary, tense, suspenseful. Everybody likes it. So kudos to all of that.
Kudos to Jim.
Kudos to Jim from The Office for having a good time. But yes, is there anything else you want to get to before we get to our main events here?
I just wanted to mention that I just last night finished season 2 of the Santa Clarita Diet, and I love that show.
So I have only seen a couple episodes of the first season, and I liked what I saw, but I've just been seeing so many great, you know, things of the two characters in the show.
You really, really must watch the entirety of the show. It's so funny. And you know what? As great as and likable as Drew Barrymore is, to me, the star of the show is Timothy Olyphant. He is unbelievably funny. I never knew that guy had such great comedy living within him. He's so great in that show.
Yeah, I've seen a clip where he's like looking around somebody's place and there's like a lots of Nazi paraphernalia around, and he just like he doesn't even see it. He just sees something else in the scene.
It's the bookshelf. He's really impressed by the craftsmanship of the bookshelf.
But everything but in the bookshelf.
It's so tongue in cheek. It's so silly and they know it, but it's just delivered perfectly. So you really need to watch it. It's great.
Yeah, I need to watch that for sure. I need to get back on that bandwagon. I've been watching the new season of Silicon Valley, which is definitely amazing. And they definitely hated on TJ Miller's character. And I'm sure that was in real life, too, because that guy's fucking insane in real life.
Didn't he get in trouble for something recently? I think he got arrested, right?
Yeah. So, like, yesterday or 2 days ago, he was arrested and he faces a 5-year prison sentence for calling in a fake bomb threat on a plane. Which is insane. So basically the story is he got into an argument with a woman on this train about who God knows who what. But I know he's been like in the media or arrested for like hitting somebody for talking politics before. So it could have happened that way. So supposedly he got into this argument and then he called the police from the train to say that this woman had a bomb in her bag. Well, the fucking idiot TJ Miller gave him the wrong train number and described the woman completely wrong and her bag wrong. So the police stopped the wrong train, but eventually figured it out. And when they went to the train employees, they were like, yeah, he had way too much to drink and we kicked him off the train because of it.
Wow.
And they arrested him. And so he's going to face charges.
How stupid. Like, what an unbelievably dumb thing to get arrested for.
What an idiot. Like, yeah, agreed. It's insane. So he quit the show for no apparent reason. And, you know, if you've watched season 5, episode 1 or 2 of the show, you could see that the creators and the actors didn't take too kindly to him. Even post his show, but
I think that it's really sad to watch what's happening with him, because here's an example of a guy that was incredibly funny and could have had a really well blossoming career and launching point, but he seems to be torpedoing his own career before it even really gets started.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you do not leave an HBO show no matter what. Like, that's crazy.
And just because of maybe, I don't know if it's whatever is going on, but it seems like it's just having a massive ego.
I think you're right. He's insane.
It's hard to say, you know, I don't know what his story is, but it's so sad to see that, because he is capable of being hilarious and so much fun to watch. You know, I know the first few seasons of Silicon Valley, that dude was the reason I watched that show. He was hilarious.
Yep. Now probably won't see him ever again. And probably if they make another Deadpool movie, he's out. I doubt that.
But he is in the second Deadpool movie, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Supposedly, there were thinking about doing reshoots with his scenes with somebody else, but they said it would take too long. So gotcha. It seems like he's just burned a lot of bridges.
So. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's sad when that happens, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, I understand why the movies, why the films would want to do that. But it's, I mean, it's sad for him that he's done that to himself.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's crazy. So, yeah, that's I guess that's what we're watching. But let's get to the two main events of the,
okay.
of the show. And John's going to start us out with his topic, which was fun. I have it's going to be fun.
Yeah. So my topic for this one was I wanted to talk about movies that were just – that just worked because of they were in the right time in the world. Like if you took this movie and dropped it into another decade, it probably wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have clicked for the people, and it was just because of that time that that movie worked. So I figured we should talk about movies like that, and I'd love to hear your movies first, Brian.
Okay. So movies that came out – that were pretty popular back then, but if they came out in this year, in 2018, it would be just really awkward and weird and just it wouldn't fit. So at the top of my list is a movie called Space Jam.
1,000,000%, this is exactly the kind of movie that I was talking about when I had the, when I brought up this list. You nailed it.
Space Jam. At the time in the early 90s, basketball, Michael Jordan, Looney Tunes, they were all the rage. I mean, and then like when you look at the when you look at this movie, there's so many crazy people in this movie. Like Bill Murray and Newman from Seinfeld, and just it's just crazy how this movie happened. And they centered around a movie around a guy who can't act to save his life. Michael Jordan is the worst actor. Even worse than David Schwimmer. And they sent a movie around this guy with
– what's wrong with David Schwimmer? Hold on. Well, slow down. You can't just drop that bomb on me and just move on along like you didn't say anything. Why you got to talk bad about Ross?
David Schwimmer
my main man.
The legit worst. Like, yeah. What? Worst actor
did you
ever.
See him in Band of Brothers? I mean, he was fine in that role. He was good.
Fucking terrible in that role.
Oh, my God.
Show. I hate David
Schwimmer. What are you talking about?
David Schwimmer is the worst.
Read your fucking list.
Space Jam. If they made that movie today, I don't see how. I mean, I think they are remaking that movie today with LeBron James, but it just how you can't. It's not going to be good.
No.
Another movie, Blair Witch, The Blair Witch Project. That movie came out in the early 90s or mid 90s when the internet was kind of just becoming available. And that was like back with dial-up modems and not like Wi-Fi or anything like that. We didn't have like crazy cell phones or anything like that back then.
Yeah, so, internet news wasn't really popular then.
Correct. So Blair Witch Project coming out in theaters saying like, this is a true story. This is just a found footage. It freaked people out. This was insane. And it started a whole chain of found footage movies. But they released that today. We're all going to know like within 2 minutes, like, is this real? No, it's not.
Now, that's an interesting one. I think that that marketing tactic only worked just in that time and place. But I think that if the movie was released today, just even if people knew it was false, I think they would still like it. It's a really scary movie.
I like the movie. I just don't think if it was released today, it wouldn't do well.
It probably wouldn't be as popular as it was.
Correct. Another movie, I think, because in these stupid Me Too movements and bullshit feminism – Porky's.
Whoa. I'm going to distance myself from that comment.
Okay, let's backtrack here. I like feministic stuff, but it's taking it too far these days. It's so stupid. So I call it bullshit feminism. But Porky's, it's a fantastic film. If Porky's was made today, everybody would be shitting on it. Completely. Not going to answer
I do agree with that. I think that that movie would be absolutely not work nowadays. I think there's a lot of movies just like that one that would absolutely not work nowadays.
Yeah, Porky's is one of them. Another one. I don't think the movie Casper with Christina Ricci would work today either. I really liked that movie growing up. Oh, man, if they released it in 2018, it'd be one of the worst movies ever.
Why? Why would you, do you think that movie would not work nowadays?
I don't know. I think they kind of – just too silly and stupid. I think kids would like – I don't know. I just don't think it'd work that day. I think people want to be genuinely scared or like at least – have some an adult feel to it, and back then it really didn't need that, but nowadays it needs it. Wouldn't work. And then a couple last ones. Mission Impossible 2, John Woo specifically. Just the slow-mo and the doves just wouldn't work today. Just too stupid and silly. It might have worked back then. We were like, oh, that's cool, but definitely.
Yeah, I think that style of filmmaking only worked for that exact period of time.
And then Space Camp, an 80s movie called Space Camp, where a group of kids go to space camp, but then, they need to actually go to space and save the world. Stupid. I mean, I guess it could work, but no, it's just too silly and stupid and far-fetched that these, like, young kids would actually get to do this. No. No. Not for me. And as much as I'd want to see it remade, Weekend at Bernie's, I just don't know if they would be able to pull off a dead guy. I mean, I'm into it.
But I don't know. I think that could, if it was done right, they could still pull off that movie.
Is that a Kevin Hart and The Rock special, Weekend at Bernie's?
I think it would
the
work.
Rock is just
I think
dead that, the whole movie.
I actually feel like I could imagine The Rock doing that and him not being the dead person, but like casting Kevin Hart just to mess with him, just to mess with him purely for that fact. Like, you're just going to be a corpse throughout the whole movie. And I'm going to just lift you up and carry you around like a rag doll.
Yeah. It's like on Whose Line Is It Anyway, when like Colin Mockery and Ryan Stiles have to do the hands thing.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that just give The Rock an opportunity to pick up Kevin Hart for an entire film.
Or vice versa. We'll see Kevin Hart pick up The Rock. It would just be so great. I'm into that. All right. That's my list. Space Jam is at the top. Any feministic movies on your side?
Oh, my God. Not touching that with a 10-foot pole, my friend. All right, so I think the right time movies that I have on my list. First up, I'm going to say Breakfast Club.
Okay, so I get it. Yes. It's very.
I just think that the entire feel of the movie, not like if you take out like the fashion and the music and all of that stuff that obviously makes it very 80s, and just the vibe of the film, the attitude between the teacher and the students, and all of these things, that only works in that time period. And like nowadays, it would never work because when you've got the teacher threatening to kick their asses and stuff like that, like kids nowadays would be like, yeah, whatever. That's not going to happen. We know that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I just don't think it's going to happen like that nowadays. So that's really high on the list. Up next is Clueless.
I love both these movies, Clueless.
I do. I love these movies, but I think that Clueless is such a I can't even think of the right way to describe it, but it's such a an anomaly almost that movie worked and worked as well as it did. It had to be just perfect for that time. And that's why it was so successful.
I agree. Yeah. That early 90s where like Beverly Hills and.
Exactly. Like nowadays, nobody really cares about the Valley Girl thing. It's not even that popular of a thing to talk about anymore. But right then it was exactly what was happening in culture, especially in Southern California. So it was very relevant. And I think that it probably wouldn't be so much anymore.
True.
Up next, The Mask.
So not Mask, but The Mask with Jim Carrey?
Not Mask, no. But
not
but
the Eric
the
Stoltz
Mask.
Movie.
The Mask with Jim Carrey. I don't think that film would work at all nowadays because I just don't think it's the mood that people enjoy anymore.
So interestingly enough, they changed that movie from the original stories because that guy, the mask character demon, is like surprisingly super violent and like insane, and they kind of made it cartoony for the movie. But in real life, the real story is that this demon is like completely insane and super violent. So
I just feel like if you drop that movie and like, even if it was a different actor, but that movie with that feel and that kind of cartoonishness to it, it just wouldn't click for people.
I guess so. Cause I mean, that's almost the height of Jim Carrey right there. And you know, we saw him do the sequel to Dumb and Dumber, which I really liked, but I wonder if that style, I have no idea how that would work. I have no idea.
Up next, I think this one is a big one. And I'm going to go ahead and say Staying Alive.
John Travolta?
Yep. Okay. I'm sorry. That's not Staying Alive. It's Saturday Night Fever.
Okay.
Saturday Night Fever.
I disagree with you there because people love dance shit.
I think that music, whole culture was so very specifically around, like, perfect disco for that movie.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you're saying, like, maybe if they made it about, like, EDM or something like that and made the movie fit into that world?
I guess they've kind of done, like, step-up type shit, you know? And
yeah, but they weren't – like, none of those are culturally, like, significant, I think.
I totally agree with that.
Like, Saturday Night Fever was a big, big deal. Everyone in the 70s that was into that scene wanted to be John Travolta.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I could see that. I think people still like dance shit, but I don't know about this. I mean, I would love to see John Travolta get back into dancing again, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Last but not least, and this is movies and TV, actually, all of the above, and I'm going to go ahead and say Jackass.
Really? Because I've been dying for a Jackass 4.
I have too, but I think that the only reason that it would be popular is because people are kind of like nostalgic and they know what to expect already. And they're, you know, I think, but if it was Jackass, what if it was the first time Jackass was a thing and we got those people doing that stuff, I don't know if it would work as much nowadays.
I don't know. I think universally we as a people enjoy seeing people getting hit in the nuts by something.
It's not just that, though. It's so much more. I don't get me wrong. I love Jackass so much. And I was watching it. The reason that I thought about this whole topic is because I was watching it and I was thinking, I'm so glad that I was 16 when Jackass became a thing. I was just like the perfect age for that show when it was brand spanking new. And I just felt really glad that I was alive at that moment in time.
I am too. I remember the first Jackass. It was in college. They did a college screen of it. It's like, God damn. And I like remember thinking like, no matter what, this is like some of the funniest shit. Like, I haven't laughed in the theater like this almost ever. And like with each movie, it's that way. It's
so true. I don't know if I've ever laughed harder in a movie theater than I have at watching those movies.
And they're so good. So, interestingly enough, you bring that up. They're not making a Jackass sequel yet, by the way, which they might. But Johnny Knoxville has a new movie coming out in the same vein kind of as Bad Grandpa, where Johnny Knoxville plays, like, the owner of, like, this theme park that is, like, has all these death traps in it and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, him and some of the other Jackass people, like, run it. And they get, you know, blown up and hitting the nuts and all this stuff, but it's kind of like a narrative movie like Bad Grandpa was, but has the Jackass appeal to it.
I thoroughly enjoy watching Johnny Knoxville be ridiculous.
Me too.
And all those guys. So I hope that's one of those things, like with Austin Powers or Pet, you know, Ace Ventura, it's Jackass fits right in where every day I got to get on the internet, I hope it's going to be like, it's just been announced that we're getting a new Jackass movie.
And I'm like, yes. Yeah,
yes, that's what I want so bad.
I want that so badly. Well, that's a good list, man. I like it.
Thank you.
We had some good lists.
Mine was way less controversial than yours.
from the feministics. Oh, you know that. You know if Porky's was released today.
I completely agree with that. that, well, I think that it just like our culture nowadays is so not down for that type of thing.
Which I just think that's bullshit.
I think that it's unfortunate that everything needs to be taken too seriously sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you're making a comedy movie, you know,
it's
just like with South Park, when you can, I mean, I'm glad when they can make fun of everything, and it needs to, I think that's really important to be able to laugh at things, even if it's terrible stuff. It's important to be able to laugh at, or else it's just too damn unpleasant.
I agree. All right. The next topic is going to be fun. I'm excited. The topic is pitch me a terrible sequel. Pitch me an awful, terrible sequel that you do not want to see. Just tell me who's in it. Tell me who's directing it. Give me a plot line. Pitch me a terrible, awful, no good sequel that you don't want to see happen. Jonathan.
Are you ready for mine?
I am.
All right. My sequel, Forrest Gump 2, Magic Legs.
Oh, Magic Legs.
And the plot line is that Forrest Gump Jr., I believe that was the boy's name, that was Haley Joel Osment. Because Haley Joel Osment, Forrest, and Tom Hanks, and Gary Sinise will all star in this movie. And the main character will be Haley Joel Osment's Forrest Gump Jr. And he wants to be a cross-country runner. There's a big cross-country running event happening in Vietnam. And so Forrest Gump Sr. and Lieutenant Dan decide to actually be Forrest Gump Jr.'s running coaches. And so the three of them go to Vietnam together for Forrest Gump Jr. to enter this big Vietnamese running contest. And Lieutenant Dan has to face these demons of the past, and Forrest Gump Sr. has to help his son win this race, and that's hilarity and hijinks ensue.
Oh my goodness, who's directing this?
Whoever directed the first Forrest Gump, I don't know.
Robert Zemeckis.
That one.
So, Forrest Gump 2, Gump Harder.
Nope. Magic Legs.
Magic Legs.
Because it's all about him running.
He was running. So, interestingly enough, there were two books of Forrest Gump. This was not the case with the second book.
Unfortunately. It sounds like I just wanted it to be as terrible as possible. Just take every obvious thing and just throw it in there. And
it's interesting enough. What was left out of Forrest Gump, the movie, and that was in Forrest Gump 2. Jonathan's pitch is more plausible than what actually happens in the books. Because in the books, Forrest Gump goes to space and is kidnapped by a cannibalistic tribe.
Wow.
John seems more plausible, but it actually happened the other way around. But yes, that's a movie I don't want to fucking see ever.
Forrest Gump 2, Magic Legs.
Magic Legs, all right.
In which Haley Joel Osment is the star of the film.
No, I just want him to be the store. He's the store of Magic Legs. Oh, my God, so good. Okay. So funny. All right, you want to hear mine?
Of course.
All right. Ready Player 2, Leroy Jenkins.
I don't even know if that needs explanation.
It's topical and funny. No, that's not my real one. I just put that in there because I thought that would be hilarious. Because I just saw the movie when I came up with this. I was like,
And I was Ready like, Player 2.
And I was like, Player 2 has entered the game. Player 2 from Shaun of the Dead. I was like, wait, Leroy Jenkins. No, if you want to hear my real pitch a terrible, awful, no good movie, I'll give it to you.
Let's hear it.
The sequel. Pitch your terrible sequel. It is simply called 8. EI, the number 8, HT, a sequel to 7. With Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. This time around, many years have passed and Morgan Freeman is now in a wheelchair with oxygen. Still on the job. And Brad Pitt, older now, is just pushing him around. But a new serial killer has come around. And he is called the 8 Maids of Milking Killer. Where he plays crazy eights with people until he kills them. It is directed by J.J. Abrams. Don't you want to see that movie?
Oh, no. So badly not.
Oh, so badly not. You know they want to do that. Interestingly enough, the studio tried to get David Fincher, the director of 7, to make 8. And he said, absolutely fucking not. And they have not made a sequel.
But it has to have the letter, the number 8 at the beginning of 8.
Yeah, I have actually spelled it out in my run sheet. EI, the number 8, HT. So, and I just like that this is Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt again. Morgan Freeman like has no lines because he's so sick and old. Brad Pitt's pushing him around because he still can't get over the head and the whole wife thing.
Just yelling at him for being incontinent.
Yes. The 8 Maids of Milking Killer strikes again. By playing crazy eights. I don't know. It just seems like a good idea.
Oh, man.
And before we go, we just have to mention a horrible sequel that never got made, thankfully. After the success of Steven Spielberg's E.T., the studio wanted to make a sequel, and there was a story and a script for it. And Spielberg says, absolutely not. You know, we've made the movie. We don't want to give the rights or anything like that. We don't want to see this butchered. And the movie was about E.T. coming back to Earth to take Elliot to help them fight evil aliens across the galaxy.
Oh, man.
Thank God that never happened.
Oh, I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Oh, yes. For sure. But yes, those are our pitch terrible movies. If you have to pitch a terrible movie, please let us know. Because I feel like with Magic Legs and 8, we have a really solid movie here.
I think so.
But yes, that is our episode for today, Mediocrity. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please find us. Just type in Mediocrity or Multimedia Men or Boomstick Comics. You'll find us on iTunes. Please subscribe. And we love you. Jonathan, any parting words?
This was fun.
Yes, it was. And again, Jeremy is the Steve Rogers of the Avengers. Because of why?
Because he is extremely old, but he's just Steve Rogers without super strength, and he does actually age like a normal human.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So just old as shit.
And there it is, Mediocrity. We love you.